Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord our God has so many wonderful things to say to His people. He loves us each individually. You know that. And collectively, I even believe that He died for us, not only collectively, but individually. God is awesome, and He loves His people. He loves us so much. He gave His only begotten Son that he, whoever believes, will have everlasting life. Everlasting life. You know, we don't comprehend everlasting life sometimes. We think in smaller measurements, like, you know, 100 years, 200 years, 300 years. That's a big deal to man. There are billionaires that would pay millions of dollars just to live another 100 years so they can do what they want to do. And, you know, I listen to Steve Quayle, Tom Horn, and they talk about what the world is doing. They're trying to make robot bodies transhumanists, they call it. They're trying to find a way to live forever and stop dying without Jesus. That's not going to happen. Jesus is the only way that we will live forever, eternally. Well, from now on, millions and millions times millions of years, Ancient of Days we serve, and God wants us to be just like Him. Now, the Lord loves us, and He's doing great things and helping us grow and do things that we normally couldn't do. And I thank Him for it. As we go forward, as we grow from glory to glory, He helps us to do what's most necessary. And many times, people are like Jonah. They follow God, but reluctantly. What if people follow God on purpose with a mission in mind? They love God, and they served Him, and they sought to honor Him. When the Lord gives you something to do, you're on board with it from the moment He first tells you. When you're on board with God, from the moment that He first revealed His perfect will to you, and you get excited about it. Most people get excited about it, and they have joy. And because they have joy and they're excited, they tell their best friends and loved ones, and then they turn around and talk them out of it, or tell them to do it in a way that God didn't give it to them. Now, this is because it's so fresh and it's so new. It's never been done before. When you reveal what God has given you to do to somebody else, and they're hearing it from you, they don't always jump on board with it. You know, they do other things, and jumping on board with something that God has given, that doesn't always happen. They don't see it. And you have to understand this. They just don't see it. But if you, when the Lord reveals something to you, it's very important. And I talk about this often. The Lord, this is something that the Lord has had me to deal with, because this is the area He's given me the most revelation, or much revelation on. And this is what comes up in my heart when I do these broadcasts, because these are your greatest challenges. Now, they don't mean any harm. They're trying to protect you. They're trying to help out. They're trying to be a blessing. If people see you a certain way, now, we do things the way we do them because that's our makeup. That's what, that's how we think. But as you grow from glory to glory, the people around you can't tell right off. It takes a challenge to reveal growth in most cases. or you'll begin to do something exceptionally well. But when you grow from glory to glory, it's not always obvious. It's a slow process. It's actually a fast process that's revealed slowly. So sometimes when parents deal with their children, as their children grow from as an adult, their children are adults, you know, they pass the age of 20, they are growing from glory to glory. And then they reveal something that the Lord has given them. Now the Lord knows that they have grown, and He's anointing them because they, you know, He always anoints people that grow from glory to glory. So when the Lord, by the time the Lord gives them something to do, and they reveal it to their parents, so to speak, or older siblings, or friends even, then in their mind, they're thinking about the person they knew growing up, or the child they raised in earlier time frames. And they'll try to curtail how they do what they do. And they try to caution them and do the thinking. God didn't call the parent or the friend or the sibling to do what you've been, let's say you, for instance, that the Lord has given you something personally to do. He didn't give it to them, He gave it to you. He's equipped you. And you've broken through some areas for God to do that and commission you to do something. And people don't always know that you've grown. Even at church, as a young man in church, we played R&B music. We had a band going. And they knew that about me. And they thought that I would, you know, I could sense from older saints, they were afraid that I would start flirting with the girls. And I guess I look fairly decent or whatever, but this was a fear that I sensed from not only older Christians, but my pastor and other, I could sense it. People, we have a spirit and we can sense things that you don't, that doesn't mean it's true. When I left the world, I was done with the world. I didn't want the world anymore ever in my life. I wanted to be done with it. That's why I went to church. Nobody told me I had to go to church. Nobody told me go to church. I went on my own. I was there at every service because that's where I wanted to be. I wanted to learn. And if you listen to these broadcasts a lot, I met a lady named Mom Powell. She was an older lady and she had a relationship with the Lord, and I wanted that kind of relationship, so I went to a Pentecostal church. But often I would sense the fear that I might fall or go back to the world, and that was far from my heart. And one day, as I sensed it, I said, well, they're watching to see what I'm going to do. I said, they can watch all they want. This is what I said to myself in my heart. I didn't tell anybody, but I said, they'll figure it out because I'm serious about this. Now, people doubt against you. Doubt is always against you. When people doubt against you, don't take it personally, because they've seen people fall before. They start and stop. But, you know, it all goes back to the parable of the sower. Some people come to the Lord, they get saved, they love God, they follow God, they enter them with joy, and then when hardships happen or something happened because of the word, then they just bail out. They go back to the world, they see a pretty girl, they lose it, and go move in with her or something. People do this. Then there are people who their hearts it's like the heart with the garden with thorns in it. And the thorns are sucking up all the nutrients and it doesn't produce fruit. So now you got another problem. You got a garden that don't produce anything. You got a heart that's not productive to God. So now people backslide, they become useless. They become useless against God. They don't, God, the word of God, it stopped being dear to them because they're concerned with other things. They worry about what bills they're going to pay. They worry about what they have, what they don't have, what's wrong in their life. And it absorbs the strength, and they become useless against God. They can't, they're not productive. They stop following through with the love of God in them. And it causes them to become useless. And God can't, they live a life that God can't sanction. And they have fears, and they have worries, and they have desires, and it's like their life, their whole spiritual life is like a constant battle against. They're living every day trying not to do wrong, wishing they could do right, trying to do right instead of just flowing with the love of God. When you flow with the love of God, you do right. The wrong way to live is trying to press yourself into not doing wrong. That's not a way to live. That's an aggravating way to live. And people who do this are aggravated. And they think that, well, pride always say, well, I'm on top. I'm doing, this is how it is. And so what people expect you to do, what they would do. Now, these are factors, not judging people, but these are factors that you have to observe. People think that you'll do what they would do. And the Lord knows what you'll do. And he knows whether you have the elements he needs or not. And he'll call you to do something to help others. And people don't always see your maturity. They don't always see your growth. They're going back. They're going by the past. And the way that they see you is shaped by the past. So they trust you like they did years ago, instead of currently. Now, when you follow God, you grow and you, from glory to glory. God will not call you to do something that you will fail against. You, in other words, when he tell you to do something, you've broken through, you've passed tests, you've done the things that were necessary, so that now it's wise for you to begin to do something else. And you are full well of, you're able to do it. And because you're able to do it, he called you to do it. And he means for you to do it. You're not supposed to let somebody talk you out of doing something God said do, just because of their issues. This is something that I run into more times than I can count. And it's still that way. And again, these are factors that happen against people. The enemy is desperate. One thing about Satan, he's desperate. And he doesn't want you to win. He don't want you to do something that God has anointed you to do. He wants to stop you as fast as he possibly can. And you have to understand these things because he is serious. He's serious. People are not, they don't think, they underestimate the warfare side. He's a hidden enemy. He will use anything. He'll use whatever people think to slow you down. And I've been through everything you can possibly imagine. When God tell you to do something, it got so, seatbelt. It got so difficult that every time God say something, give me something, I'd brace myself. And I had to prepare to break through all of the hindrances that will come my way. I had to prepare myself, embrace myself, and gird up the loins of my mind that I'm going to do what God said do. Even the calling God gave me. He called me to be an apostle. He anointed me to be an apostle. He called me to, he gave me that. He told me that. He made it plain. I'll never forget it. Ever. didn't want it. I wanted to be a teacher at best. I didn't even ask him to call me to the ministry. I wanted to be a contributor. I wanted to be a blessing to people who were doing that kind of work. But God, He saw something in me. He created me to do what I'm doing. He called Jeremiah from the womb, and some people are called from the womb. God created them to do what He desires them to do. And when I look back at my life, I always wanted to know, how did things get to this point? How did they get to this point? That was my question. That was my biggest question. And I, to the point that I was studying mankind, I listened. I used to lay my head on my head on my desk to listen to what people talked about. Why would I do something like that? God put that in me. Now, I paid attention to things. And after I received the Holy Spirit, I began to walk with Him. And I developed a relationship with the Lord like my power. That was my goal. I saw something. I saw light, and I went after it. And people didn't know that that's what I was doing. And they didn't expect me to do something like that. They didn't expect me to learn the things that I've learned. And they're still looking at the person that they used to know. And that's how they do you. They don't mean any harm. When you get bad advice from God's people, the enemy knows how they think. He studies mankind too. He studies you. He studies me. He studies us. He studies everybody. And the enemy has a plan set up to stop God's will in your life. And you have to break through it. That's why I'm saying these things. And these are hard facts that I had to learn. And they're learnable. You can learn them, and then you can break through and overcome them. It's not hard to do. It's not hard to do at all. It's easy. It's easy as pie if you listen to the Holy Spirit, because He will guide you into your every breakthrough you need to finish His perfect will. Now, many things that God has called people to do, they're unfinished. People get to a certain point, and somebody, if it's not what people are used to, they talk against it. They doubt against that person. And then they'll hint people to come just to hinder it. The enemy will send tares just to hinder you. They'll be your friend, and you'll see them as a friend or a brother in Christ. But they keep up mess. And they always resist the Holy Spirit. Now, when it comes to the Holy Spirit and the things of God, most people don't have that drive to know Him. I don't know why. Or they want to follow God in a way that they're used to. But tares are different. They have pride. And they serve pride more than they serve God. Now, all these are factors you're going to have to deal with. And you can do it. Love everybody, whether they're a tare or a saint or even a lukewarm Christian. Love them anyway. Love them from the heart. Love them with real love. But don't compromise with no man. Do what God said. Do. Protect, like we said in that last broadcast. When God give you something to do, there's peace in it. And peace always is a product of communion and fellowship with the holiness of God, the love of God, and the wisdom of God. That's what peace is, fellowship with the Lord. And this is how the Lord is. So whatever He tells you to do is well thought out. It's perfect. You can see the wisdom in it. You can see the truth in it, the holiness in it, and you can feel the love of it. And that's the main thing. And God loves us so much that he does something that's necessary. So when you're anointed, he sets you up to do something that's necessary. And you can tell that you're going to contribute like you always wish you could. You're going to be a blessing like you always wish that you could. And it's a need, and it's probably impossible for a man to do it. But when you have the anointing, you have God's ability. At every point in the progressions of time, you're going to be able to govern and judge and know what to do. Samson was not just an anointed fighter. He was a judge. And he got out of bounds for the same reasons people get out of bounds. The lust of things entering in chokes the word. He started seeing Delilah. And she was probably pretty. And he thought of her. See, people think that they think that others are just like them. He thought that she was dedicated to him, like he intended to be dedicated to her. But she was just using him she had ulterior motives. Her heart was not with him. And he didn't realize this till it was too late. After a few days, after she cut his hair off and he couldn't fight anymore, he realized she betrayed him. And then he grew his hair back and he thought about some things and he wanted to honor God one more time. And he had the young man to put him where the pillows are so he could rest. And he asked the Lord to anoint him one more time, and he broke those pillars. He died, and the 3,000 Philistines died too. So he killed more in his death than he did in his life. And I suspect that in his life he killed 5,000 Philistines. And that gave the balance back to Israel. Now, when you're anointed, you have judgment. You have wit. You know what to do. You know how to do it. You know when to do it. You understand things that other concepts that others may not. You can judge wisdom better. When you have the anointing of God, it's just like when Paul, the prophet told him not to go to Israel, to Jerusalem, or he'll go to jail. Well, guess what? He went anyway. Desiring to do good, because that's the kind of man he is. But that's not what he was anointed for. So in the courts, he knew to go back. His safety net was to go back. He appealed to Caesar to go back to the Gentiles. That's what he was anointed for. And there's a lot of wisdom in it. If they were about to release him, but as soon as they did, the Jewish mob was ready to kill him. So he appealed to Caesar. Now that he has safe passage out of Israel, back to Rome, into the hands of the Gentiles, where the Jews were not going to go. And he was a citizen of Rome. So he was back in the kingdom of the Gentiles, out of the kingdom of the angry mobs in Israel. He was out of Jerusalem where he was not anointed to be, and he was back in the hands of the Gentiles. You know, that's just like Bro Rabbit going back to the Briar Patch. It used to be a cartoon, a Disney cartoon, and it was set in like the 1800s. And Bro Rabbit lived in the Briar Patch, and he knew how to navigate a Briar Patch. And when they caught him, he said, "Oh, please don't throw me in that Briar Patch. Whatever you do, don't throw me in that Briar Patch." And they threw him in the Briar Patch, and that's where he lived. So he knew what to do. When you're anointed, you have good judgment. You'll take the best advantage. And that's what you're going to have to do to pull off what God has designed you to pull off. I have understanding about people that most people don't understand because God taught it to me. And this is something that the devil's afraid of. Satan is very afraid of people who love God because they grow and they grow and they grow and they become capable of carrying the anointing that will definitely destroy his works. So, as you follow God, God's going to navigate you to do things that's best for you. And you're going to be enabled. You're going to be able to carry out the plans of God. You're going to be anointed. You're going to follow through. You're going to have the best judgments because God's going to give it to you. If he anoints you to do something, he's going to help you do it. You have his ability. But see, when you're anointed, it's very important for you to trust God. That's your lifeline. The love of God and your trust in God, these are two lifelines you got to have in order for you to keep your anointing activated. Faith activates your anointing. But remember, when you trust God, you're believing him in current times for things that he knows. Now, all the true and precious promises in the world, you can always have faith in those things and have them in your life. And it usually happens over time. But watch, when you believe God for something currently that's measured by his perfect wisdom, his holiness, and his love, and you got to make that Rebecca choice. When Abraham's servant came to take her back to Isaac to be his wife, she had one opportunity. She could say yes or no. She had one chance to enter in to God's perfect will for her life. She didn't have 10 days to think about it. She had one chance. And some things that God will give you to do, you got one chance to get on board with it. You have a time frame. And if you wait too long, it's over. You'll never get to do it. This is how serious it is to be in place, to be willing, and to act when God say act. You can't wait on people to counsel you. And see, a person can't tell you how to do something that God has told you to do. They don't have the knowledge, they don't have the understanding, and they don't have what you need unless God tell you to include them. If you're anointed, God will send you places sometimes to learn, to gain elements that you need to do something even greater. So you got to pay attention to the Lord. Learn what you got to learn from the people that God put in your place, that the Holy Spirit sent you to. But you have to keep what God has given you to do. You have to be ready to continue the path that God has set for you. Sometimes he may send you to people, they'll teach you for a season, but you're going to have to leave and continue to do what God wants you to do. Or you're going to have to receive what you need, but continue the process. Don't get stalled out just because God sent you to someone or put somebody in your path. They're going to help you. But when they do that, you got to think the Holy Spirit's going to pick up, okay, continue to go forward. And you're going to have to do it. You can't get emotional. You can't and follow God. You got to go forward. Don't let anybody ever at any point in time talk you out of what God wants you to do. or alter the plan that God has for you. Because you got to keep in line with the trust. When you trust the Lord, and you continue in the path of trust, you're gaining ground. You're doing what's necessary. Even people that can give you the elements you need, they don't always have everything you need. They have a portion of what you need. And sometimes they'll continue with you in ministry, and sometimes you have to, God says separate Barnabas and Paul for what I've given them to do. And they couldn't just stay in Jerusalem and do what they were used to. They had to deviate and go and minister the